Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2023 Home Education Conference held in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Very good. Well, welcome, everyone. How many of you are passionate about promoting freedom? Anybody in this room? Some of you? Yeah? Okay, you're in the right place. How many of you think that there's a connection between freedom and the food we consume? Yeah, I do too. I do too. So we're going to talk about some of those things today. My name is Jared Sorensen, and the title of this class is Stewardship and Statesmanship. So first of all, we're going to dispel some myths. Maybe some things that you've heard, maybe some things that you believe, maybe some things that I used to believe, that I'm working on changing those beliefs. And the, let's see. First of all, we need to thank some people. Like, have you guys, how many have been here more than one day? Buddy? Okay. Has it been a good conference? Okay. I don't know if they can hear us, but the conference organizers, maybe just give them a big round of applause. Thank them for what they've done. It takes a lot of work to be able to pull off a conference like this. And so I think they definitely give them a round of applause, but also thank them. Go out of your way, because it is kind of a thankless job, right? They don't do it for the money, let me tell you. There's got to be mission involved in getting something like this done. And, all right. So also, you know, each of us have families. As Rosie mentioned, we've got 9 kids. They're all at home or in different places. And so could we just give a round of applause for our families that are supporting us and being here today? And, you know, it wouldn't be very much fun if it were just one-on-one in here. So we've got people beside us, around us, behind us. So just turn to somebody and maybe give them a fist bump and just tell them, hey, I'm glad you're here. Turn to your other person. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, you better stay awake. Just let them know that you're watching them, that they've got to stay awake. Awesome. So in this class, it's going to be interactive. What's the word?
Interactive.
That means that it's going to be more of a discussion than a presentation. We'll ask questions. I'll try to repeat those questions so those that are listening to the recording can hear and get the gist of it. It is stewardship and statesmanship. Stewardship, statesmanship, agriculture, they are all essential for freedom. And if that's the class that you signed up for, you're in the right place. Unfortunately, my wife is speaking at the same time. And so if you want to learn more about food, go upstairs one room. And but kind of our message is really tied together. Like, we focus, William and I, if you guys were in the last class, William works with us on the ranch. He and I focus on growing the food. What ranch? So we are in northeastern Nevada. The name of the ranch is Secret Pass Ranch. If you Google it, there might be an article or two about us on there. Ruby Mountain Foods is our grass-fed beef marketing company. So that does have a website, rubymountainfoods.com. And learn more about what we're doing on the education side, it's agsteward.fyi. So, agsteward, all one word, .fyi. And I'll share a QR code at the end that has some more of that information on it. So, okay. So some myths, some things that maybe we've come to believe that just aren't true. First of all, how many of you have heard that if you're going to be a farmer, you're going to go broke? Is that true or a myth? That's not true, right? But why do we come to believe that? How about farming and ranching is for the uneducated people that don't know what else to do with their lives, right? I don't know what else to do, so I'll just go get a job, go be a cowboy, go be a farmer. That's simply not true either, because it does take a lot of education, a lot of expertise, and it's also very rewarding. How about the myth that as the U.S. populace, we don't have to worry or be concerned about where our food comes from, because there's always going to be enough, right? There will always be enough. Like, we are the most productive nation in the world when it comes to food production. But there's also a huge cost. And I think all of us, maybe 3 years ago, maybe we would have been a little more complacent. Maybe that wouldn't have resonated 3 or 4 years ago, however long it's been. But when we went to the grocery store and we found shelves empty, it was kind of a wake-up call for all of us. So, again, those three myths are farming is for the uneducated, you'll go broke farming, and you don't have to be concerned about where your food comes from because there's always going to be enough. So today we're going to cover that. Stewardship, statesmanship, agriculture, the integral part of freedom. How those three things have to work together. All right. So it looks like you guys are prepared. Each of you have something to write something down on. That's good. If you don't, you can take out your phone. Don't text anybody, but just make notes on your phone. Okay, so what are your intentions? In life, we tend to get what we intend. So we're going to set some clear intentions here for this. And it's not just for this class. It could be something completely unrelated to agriculture, stewardship, statesmanship. So think about it. One, at least one, ideally three things that you intend to get to go home with at the end of this. Okay, is that clear? Three things, write them down. I'll give you a couple minutes to do that. If you don't know what to write, just peek over at your neighbor's page. Copy what they have. What are the things that you intend to get from this conference? It could be either. Maybe one of each. Okay. So now, real quick, looks like you don't need to stand up. Everybody just turn to somebody, say, hey, I'm going to be your partner. If you don't have somebody, you form a threesome, okay? Okay, so everybody, real quick, find a partner. Cool deal. Find a partner. Does everybody have a partner? Okay, welcome. We're just setting intentions. So find somebody you can work with, real quick. And if you're a threesome, that's fine. Okay, what we're going to do in 2 minutes, you're going to share what your intentions are for this class, okay? So you've got 1 minute each, and we're timing that. Okay, so who's partner A? Raise your hand if you're partner A. We're not. Okay, who's partner A? Okay, everybody got a partner A? Okay, partner A, for 1 minute, go share what your intentions are. Okay, stop. And let's switch partner B. And those that are in the threesome, you've got to just break it up and go fast. You guys will figure it out. Okay, partner B, share what your intentions are for this class. And stop. Very good. Give your partners a high five. Tell them I'm glad you're here. You've got some awesome intentions. Okay, how about one volunteer to share what their powerful intentions are with the class? Who would like to share what they intend to get out of the class or out of the conference? Okay, how do landowners help preserve freedom? Perfect. And what was your name? Emily. Let's give Emily a big round of applause. Right. How do landowners help promote freedom? And let's do one more. Perfect. How do we teach our kids stewardship and to love the land and how to get started? Where to get started? Okay, very good. Can anybody else resonate to those intentions? Yeah. And what was your name?
Melissa.
Let's give Melissa a round of applause. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you guys for being brave and sharing. And those intentions are really powerful. So pay attention to that. They may be answered in this class. They may be answered in an unexpected way in another class. But the fact that you wrote them down, you're asking for God, for the universe, for your fellow man to give you those answers. How many times do we hear, ask and you shall receive, knock and it shall be opened? So you've just done that. So good job. As I mentioned, I am a rancher, a third generation rancher. My wife and I are the parents of 9 children. We're raising our children on the ranch that my grandfather and grandmother started, that my parents continued on, and that I took over management of at a very young age. When I was 23 years old, my mom and dad decided they were going to go serve missions, and they said, Jared and Selena, do you guys want to manage ranch? And we said, heck yeah, sign us up. It's all we wanted to do from the time I was 12 years old, like I knew I wanted to be a rancher. I probably knew it before that, but I didn't believe it. And when I was 12, I was like, hey, my dad did this. My grandpa did this. My brothers didn't. So I thought, well, I got to go to college and be an engineer or a doctor or something. But I realized I could do this. And I could see myself doing this. So, yeah, we signed up. And we started. And we had one little baby boy. My mom and dad went off to Mexico. And all I had to do was not screw it up. It only took me a few years, and we screwed it up. And pretty soon we realized, wow, this legacy that has been passed down to me might die on my watch. Like, it got to the point where we weren't profitable. It wasn't fun anymore. It was hard. We didn't know the answers. We were in over our heads. And I was ready to quit. I was ready to give up on the dream that I'd had from a young age because I didn't know what to do. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. It was part of my mission, and I knew that it was, but I didn't know what to do. And so I decided I needed to get education, and so I began to seek out mentors. And I went to schools, and I went to the Ranching for Profit school, and it kind of changed the trajectory, trajectory is what I'm trying to say, of where I was going. I gained a greater vision for what was possible for me, for our family, for the ranch, for our stewardships. And as I sought out mentors, some great people like the late Bud Williams, who was a great stockman, taught marketing, many others who would be known in the agricultural circles, who either mentored me directly or indirectly through their writings and through their classes, they helped me to realize that, you know, there are answers out there. I need to set my intentions, right? I need to ask. I need to seek. I need to knock. And so through that journey, we've been able to turn things around to where now we have off-farm income. We have a ranch that still is not dialed in where we need it to be profitability-wise. But we're on track to do that. And we've begun to embrace what is called regenerative agriculture. Is that a new term for anybody here? Regenerative agriculture? We might throw that term around a lot here. And what does it mean? Does anybody have a good definition? You probably do. Maybe you do. Do things in a way that the land will be better and healthier for future generations. I see a hand. I don't see it. There's a face. Yes. Practices that promote health, that the land gets better year over year. It's not, there actually is a certification. It's not an organic certification. We are certified regenerative, which doesn't mean we can or can't apply pesticides. We follow the organic protocol, but we're not organic certified. Two other comments. Okay, very good. I hadn't thought about that way, but yeah, balancing inputs and outputs, very good. So yes, my definition, I know there's a textbook definition, and there's a lot of people that throw that around. The term around, just like organic, there is a regenerative label when you go and you seek out for food. And so we sell into some of those branded products on the beef side. I encourage you to, you know, look for that. But most importantly, you know, what does it mean to you and your stewardships? Being regenerative in my book means that it is improving year over year, right? Improving in the sense that we measure, because I'm a cowman, the ability to run more cattle. So we call that carrying capacity. Our carrying capacity is increasing. The earth has a carrying capacity for the number of people that it can sustain. How can we increase that? That's our role as stewards, to increase the carrying capacity of the land that we steward. That can be, you know, it can be a pot on our front doorstep. It can be an acre, or it could be millions of acres. We work with people wherever they're at. Okay, so I kind of had to go through these things and discover them the hard way, like through the School of Hard Knocks. Anybody been there? High price tuition. Like, my mom and dad could have paid for me to go to Harvard and what we cost the business. But I wouldn't have gotten the education that I had gotten, right? Sometimes we have to go down that winding, unforgiving path to be able to learn the things that we need to learn. And certainly that has been the case for me. So I'm going to share some of those things that I learned along that journey. And I've kind of tried to break it down into what we're going to call like the three secrets of regeneration. Okay, maybe that's catchy enough that you'll remember them. We can remember three things, right? Right? Okay, so first secret is that we really have to start and we have to get educated. Just as I mentioned, you know, when I kind of hit that wall and I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. My dad was thousands of miles away. At that point, you know, we only called maybe once or twice a month, even if that, we could email. But he wasn't my mentor. He wasn't the person that I had right by my side to ask questions and to guide me. And so I had to seek out other people. Okay, so secret number one is get educated. Everybody got that? What's secret number one? Get educated. How do we get an education? That's the question. Read the classics, right? We're here in this group, and that's kind of the common theme of how we get education, leadership type education. Go to the classics. Where do we find the classics for stewardship and regenerative agriculture? He's a good one. Yeah, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. Many of the founding fathers were agriculturalists. And if they weren't directly, they had very close ties to it. Because at that time, I don't know what the statistics are. Somebody throw out a statistic. 80% of them are made up anyway, so we can throw them out. What percentage of the population during the founding era was directly involved in agriculture? Most, 70, half. You're all right, right? You're all right. I don't know, but there was. I would say it had to be half to the majority, right?
I know Jefferson wanted the country to be the majority, what he'd call yeoman farmers. So, but it was in his mind, it was integral that the majority of the people were landowners and could produce their own food.
Yeah. Yep, and we're going to talk about why that was and why that is important and how we can get back there now. We don't have to own land to be an agriculturalist. We don't have to own anything to be a steward. So we can still perpetuate that thought, that philosophy that Jefferson and many of the founders had, whether or not we grow our own food or not. It's more of a mindset. So again, first principle under get educated is read classics, sign up. So I'll give you a QR code at the end to get one of the best classics, and it's this one that I wrote. And it's definitely had the greatest impact of any book that I've ever read, and it's also impacted other lives. So that's a good one to start with, but there's many others. It's Searching for Home, Finding Grace, and I'll give you the QR code at the end to be able to buy it. Listen and learn from nature. Okay. Do I have a volunteer to read? It's not very long. Yes. Okay. You can either pull it up on your... Yeah, this is number two under secret number one. Yeah. Okay, so this is... Okay, so we've got three secrets. And bullet point number two is to listen to nature, I think is what it was, right? Listen and learn from nature. You guys are good. Hey, welcome. Okay, do you want to pull it up on your phone? I'll just hand you this, Rosie. So it's just, those are, this is Job chapter 7, verses 7 through 10. So just right at the top of the page. Okay, so listen up. This is good stuff. Pretty cool, huh? Job chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Did you guys know that was in the Bible? Job 12, 7 through 10. Had that ever jumped off the page for anybody else? It has it multiple times for me, and it did again just yesterday. And I thought, what better way to learn than to just go to nature and ask questions? Is that weird? Does that seem kind of woo-woo? I don't know, maybe in some circles it would be, but really, I mean, can everything has a spirit, everything is made from energy, from life, can we communicate with things, can we communicate with the rocks and the trees and the animals and the oceans? Yes, there's a whole engineering science behind that, because yeah, it was created structurally, physically, so, okay, so learn from nature, Is that good? Under secret number one, bullet point number two. We'll try to keep this simple. Bullet point number three, internships. Are you too old to be an intern? You're never too old to be an intern. Sometimes it's harder if you've got a family and you've got kids and church callings and obligations and things to just pick up for weeks on end and go work on a ranch or go do an internship with what you want to do, learn about. But the principle is always there, internships, and especially for your young people, right? I assume some of you are kind of here because you have young people that you're trying to educate. Yeah, we do too. So our nine kids, they've all been homeschooled clear through. And some of them done college. Some of them done college at home. Some of them just gone to work. We don't really push the college thing. But if they want to do it, if it's in alignment with their mission, we definitely encourage it. And we do encourage internships. So we offer opportunities for internships on the ranch. Usually two or three a year. Strategic people. We can't teach them how to work. You teach them how to work. We'll teach them how to do the things that we do, right? If they've got the desire and they want to learn. William, who was here in the class before us, William DeMille, he has, if you're looking more for like hands-on growing, sign up for his 17-week course. He's got four or five students this year that are there. It's a wonderful opportunity to be able to learn how to grow your own food. So we teach more the ranching side. They're going to learn. They're definitely going to get work experience. William teaches more of the growing side. There's going to be other internships, maybe when they can live at home if they're younger. So normally, you know, we want young people that are probably 16, 17 years old. It's good if they can drive. They have their own transportation and things. And then attend. Okay, so internships is number bullet point number three. And again, what's the first secret? Get educated. You guys are good. You guys are good. Way to pay attention. Okay, bullet point number four is attend classes. You guys are doing that. Check that one off. But this hopefully is the first of many. Like if you're passionate about stewardship, about agriculture, there is wonderful ways. And you don't have to leave home. So we do webinars twice a month. We did one just last night. They're the second and fourth Thursdays. So if you go to our website, agsteward.fyi, there's information about what we do. It is more geared towards people that are transitioning from traditional to regenerative in ranching and farming practices. But really, we kind of start with where you're at. If you're looking at more like growing food for your family, we'll steer you more towards William. If you're looking at stewarding and livestock and acreages and crops, we'll help you with that. And number five, it goes along with internships, is work experience, right? You don't know if you're going to like it if you don't go and immerse yourself in it. So go spend a season. Encourage your young people. If they're like, man, I want to be a farmer, I want to be a rancher. Don't say you're going to go broke, right? We've already dispelled that myth because that's really a mindset. That's a belief. You can choose whether you're going to go broke or not. If it's based on the right principles, you won't. So work experience. Okay, we'll speed this up here a little bit. Secret number two, have a plan. Everybody got that? Repeat it back. What's secret number two?
Have a plan.
Have a plan. Okay. So when people come to me, they say, hey, I want to work with you. I want to do an internship. I want to learn. My first question is why? Why do you want to do that? Because if your why is strong enough, you'll figure out the how. And I truly believe that. So sometimes they haven't been asked that, and I'll get them to kind of dive deep and ask the questions. You know, why do you feel like that is? Oh, I don't know. Just thought it'd be fun. Well, that's not strong enough. No, really, why do you want to do this? Well, because, I don't know, it just calls to me. I like to get my hands dirty. I like to be in the dirt. I want to raise my family outside of the city. Those are deeper whys. Those are the whys that are going to get you to push through it. So start with why. And the second bullet point is seek out a mentor. And third is just simply get started. Like you can't learn to ride a horse from the ground. You're going to have to get on. You might get bucked off. So just get started. Start where you're at. Start small, right? Some of the young people that have come to work for us, they've gone on to own their own places. Like starting with nothing. And people, again, back to your question about land ownership, right? The barrier to entry is really high right now. It's very hard to get into. So how do you get started? It is possible. It is possible. And we've had two people that have worked for us that I've seen them do it, and now they have their own business managing thousands of acres and hundreds of head of cattle, and they're doing it successfully. And I have a good friend that's scaled that even further, starting with nothing. That's the exception, but why not make it the rule, right? I think we can, and I think we must, because going into debt and following the traditional path, that's not always the best answer. Not that debt it can't be used strategically. Okay, all right, so we got those. Start with why, seek out a mentor, and just get started. So, when I started ranching, I thought, you know, I really like horses, I like working with cattle, I like working on the land, and that is what calls to me, and that's what made me want to be a rancher. I soon found out that I didn't know much about really grass other than cows eat it. I didn't know anything about business other than you hope there's more money at the end of the month or the end of the year on agricultural side, because we kind of work off a yearly cycle. And I didn't know really anything about ecology. And so I transitioned from being a cowboy to a grass farmer. It's like, okay, I got to grow more grass. To being a businessman, to now I'm like a soil advocate. I'm like, everything starts in the soil. And how we treat the soil is really determining whether we are regenerative or not. So that's kind of been my journey. And it doesn't need to take 3 decades like it did me. That journey can be expedited, especially with the access that we have to knowledge and with the wonderful people like Gabe Brown and others. I don't know if anybody heard of Gabe Brown. Great regenerative rancher in Bismarck, North Dakota. Wrote a book called Dirt to Soil. That would be on my regenerative reading list. So he's doing it. He's scaling it. He's not taking government subsidies. That might be the fourth myth, that if you're going to farm and ranch, you've got to take government subsidies. You don't have to. And please, if you do, and this is the wrong crowd to ask that of, but wean yourself off it, because it's not always going to be there, right? Okay. Secret number 3. This one's cool. Your stewardships increase as your capacity to steward increases. So I'll say that again. Your stewardships increase as your capacity to steward increases. Do we get that? Your stewardships increase as your capacity to steward increases. So what does that mean? We'll hopefully define that. Maybe somebody can break it down a little bit quicker. Parable of the talents. Absolutely. Yeah, that is that's near and dear to my heart. We do a podcast. It's called the Profitable Steward Podcast. It's based on that, the parable of the talents. It didn't matter whether you're given 1, 2, 5, 10 talents. What matters is what you do with what you've been given. And so how do we increase our capacity? Well, I've got some simple ways to be able to do that. If you guys are taking notes, I apologize, because I've got secrets 1, 2, and 3 and bullet points and this and that and that. So I try to keep it simple, but it's just trust, it's simple. Okay, so the first principle under that is stewardship trumps ownership, okay? So in other words, we don't have to own something to be a steward of it. Back to the question, the intention of land ownership. That's important. I think it's important. I think I would live, I would fight for, I would defend property ownership with my life because it is a God-given right. But that said, to be a steward, we don't have to own something. We can be a steward of the earth. We can be a steward over something that we don't own, something that we lease. Something that we don't even have any claim to. Yes, Rosie. Yeah. God owns it all. Yeah, very good. Thank you for sharing that, Rosie. Let's give Rosie a round of applause. What an insightful insight. Perfect. Yeah, great way to sum that up. I couldn't have said it better, so thank you for that. Okay. Stewardship trumps ownership. Okay, so bullet point number two is to work on yourself daily. And how do we do that? We work on ourselves daily. How much time do we have left?
It's 11:34.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Okay. So, again, I try to keep things simple. Take out the trash. Say it that way. This is how to work on yourself daily. So this is A, take out the trash. We have some 60,000 different individual thoughts each day. Science says, I don't know how they measure this, that two-thirds of those are negative. So 40,000 negative thoughts passing through your mind every day. What do we do with those thoughts, right? So we're outnumbered. If we have two-thirds, one-third, we've got to flip that. The way that we do that is get rid of those negative thoughts. That's why I like working on a ranch, because you can go scream and yell at the grass and it doesn't care, right? It's just kind of like feeding it compost, right? It takes all that negative stuff and it makes it grow, makes the grass grow. That being said, I think our intentions are important, like we don't go yell at our garden or our tomato plants. But nature knows how to deal with that stuff a lot better than we do, so get it out of you. That's the principle. Take out the trash. B would be connect with your creator. Again, this is on a daily basis, some way to be able to connect with who created us. I believe that's God. Connect spiritually. C is do something physical. We've been given these wonderful bodies. We're stewards over these bodies. If we want to be stewards over other things, can we steward our own body? Can we take care of it? Can we exercise? Move. We're made to move, not be sedentary people. That's another good reason to be involved in a garden or agriculture, is because that's kind of goes hand in hand, right? That being said, a lot of farmers are obese, deal with heart issues because they sit in a tractor all day. So balance that. And again, on a daily basis, D would be learn. So just something to expand your mind every day. So we're going to look at kind of those things that make us up. Our mental, getting out the bad stuff, putting in the good stuff. Our emotions, getting out the bad, hopefully filling up with good by connecting with nature, connecting with our creator, the spiritual, and the physical. Okay, so, and just to kind of sum it up again, do the very best you can with what you've been given, and it will increase. Do the very best you can. We don't have to be perfect. I think God accepts the try. We should accept the try in ourselves. Okay, so who got all three of those secrets? What's number one? Get educated. Number two? Have a plan. And number three? Very good. Stewardship increases, your capacity to steward increases. Okay, does that make sense? Everybody just kind of take a deep breath. Let it out. It's very important to breathe. People that breathe live longer, scientifically proven. The number one most important component in soil, let me just ask you, is it water, is it air, or is it nitrogen or carbon? What's most important in soil health? Air. Yep, it is air. It's the same for us too. We've got to breathe, right? If we find we're just shortness in breath, just resetting and taking a deep breath kind of helps us to be able to regroup, connect, and is really good for our health. So, any questions on those three secrets before we jump into the conclusion here? Very good. What can non-rancher people do to support the local ranchers? Great question. Great question, right? Because, again, you don't have to go and own tens of acres, hundreds of acres, thousands of acres. Just for perspective, I mean, our ranch is about 14,000 acres. We live in Nevada, so our carrying capacity isn't like the Midwest, right, where it's highly productive. What can you do? Buy direct from the farmer and rancher. Not everybody wants to sell direct, but there are those who do. Support them, seek them out, buy direct from them, bypass the middleman so that you have a connection. If the grocery store shelves are empty, or when they're empty again, be like, I don't have to worry, right? Anybody know Joel Salatin from Virginia? He's kind of the farming guru. He should be appointed the Secretary of Agriculture. He won't ever be because he's, I don't think he'd know. He probably wouldn't. Joel Salatin, you can Google him. He's got tons of videos. He's super, super entertaining. He's got lots of books. So he'd be on my regenerative reading list. But what he said is, and he's maybe one of the most known, but he's a sample. So during COVID, like those of us that were direct marketing, it was kind of like, you know, what pandemic? Like that year of 2020 was the best year for many people in agriculture because it was like, okay, finally people value what we do. They're seeking us out. Marketing was relatively easy. Like, so yeah, don't wait for the pandemic. Start now. That is the best way. And is my wife's talking about this. So when you get the recording, listen to Selena. You're going to pay for your health one way or the other. We prefer to pay for it on the front end by buying good food, right? Rather than on the back end by paying for health care and prescriptions and brain fog and all those things that don't have a direct cost necessarily, but the lack of productivity. So great question. How else can we do that? Visit, not every, again, we're farmers and ranchers because we're kind of introverts and, you know, I'm the exception. I'm an introvert too, but I realize part of my mission is to be able to educate, and so I push past that. You know, go visit. Learn, take your kids, get them exposed to what that is. Let them go, you know, gather eggs from the chickens and just see that's still warm. It's like that was just inside that. That's what I eat. This is where it comes from. Draw that connection. Some of you probably do that. Some of you are more connected than others. But that's a great way to be able to do it. And then probably the other thing is just support what they do. Like, and social media and things like that, just find people whose values match yours and encourage them. A lot of us are trying to figure out this direct marketing thing, like, you know, ClickFunnels and ads and all this stuff. Maybe you've got somebody that's good at it, and you could be that promotion person for them. You could say, hey, you do what you do best. I'll do what I do. You know, I'll use my gifts to be able to support you and make it a good exchange. And, man, yeah. There's a lot of logistics that, I mean, we say cut out the middleman. Until you become the middleman, you appreciate that, okay. You know, there's a reason that they charge. That being said, I mean, if you love it and you do it, go buy grain. We buy grain direct from a farmer. It's organically grown. It's not super clean. It has weed seeds in there. We grind it up. It's okay. You know, sometimes you get a rock in there, minerals. So, but it doesn't go through the cleaner first. So we're just buying direct from him. It's a pain for him to do it, but he does it because he values that we value what he produces, and so he's willing to go to that extreme. Okay, so we'll conclude this here, and I just want to share a little bit about in the world that we live in. We are very disconnected from where our food is grown, right? It used to be that we were in it, around it. We knew what it took to grow food. If things got tough, you know, if we didn't know directly how to farm, somebody next to us probably did. And now there's a distance, there's a disconnection between that. And I've realized that, again, to expect that however many billion of people live on the earth right now, that all of them need to be farmers or ranchers is probably unreasonable. But how do they get that connection, right? Even if they can't go visit a farm, how can they learn about the culture that we love, the culture that's been passed down to us, the culture that largely helped to found this country, And maybe part of that we need to get back to. So if you haven't defined what your values are, now's a good time to do it. Because when we know what our values are, we are unswayed, right, when the winds push against us. So my values are, five of them, faith, family, freedom, stewardship, and leadership. When my niece reached out to me and said, hey, there's this conference, would you like to speak at it, and made the introduction, I looked, had to do with faith, probably has a lot to do with family if we're homeschooling, probably we could talk about freedom here, stewardship, I guess that's the name of my class, and leadership is a large part of that. So for me, it was an easy, okay, yes, we just got back from a trip that we don't normally go on. We spent a week in Hawaii. We just got back on Tuesday. We work in the temple this afternoon. We've got 9 kids at home. We're getting ready to turn out cows. We just went through a very severe winter, and all our fences are down, and it's all hands on deck to get fences fixed before the cows show up next week. And, you know, I had to check in, is this really what I need to do? Should I just bail out on this deal? I'm needed at home. But, again, because I went back to what my values were, faith, family, freedom, and it was so much in alignment with it, it's okay. You know, you can do that. You can do that. And so I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful that you're here, and I hope that what you've learned here will be a benefit to you, whether something that I've said, something that you heard inside, something that somebody else says. What are you going to take action on? And that would be my question to you right now. If it's clear what that is, write it down right now. What do you need to do? What is an action step that you can go home with? So, and whatever you've written down is perfect for you. It took about a decade to write this book, and a writing mentor, and God nudging and prodding me, and my mom dying and helping me from the other side of the veil to get this book done. So I want to share this with you. There's a QR code here if you're interested in a copy of this book. My good friend Tony Malmberg, who is a fellow rancher, he's not very much older than I am, well, relatively. He's probably in his 60s. And one day he had symptoms of a heart attack, and he's like, I need help. And so they called Life Flight. The helicopter landed on his ranch in Oregon. They loaded him on the helicopter, and they said, we just have to be frank with you. Half the people don't make it through the flight. The half of the people that make it to the hospital alive will not make it through the operation. Is there anything that you need to say or do? Because this might be your only chance. He was about two-thirds of the way through reading through my book. And he said that as he laid there on the gurney in the helicopter as they loaded him up, he said he would think that there would be panic. There would be things racing through his mind, all the things that he didn't do, all the things that he should do. But he said he experienced a sense of peace, a sense of security, and a knowledge of who he was, because he knew who he was in relation to God. And he thanked me for that. And I thought, man, what a powerful testimonial of somebody. I can't say my book saved his life, but did it? Did it? If he didn't have that peace with the stress that he had in his life at that point, what would have been the outcome? So you guys, if you're interested, I have 15 copies. It is available on Amazon. If you guys would rather send them home with you than take a box of books home, if you don't get a copy. So what you do is just basically scan the QR code and then just show me the receipt. I'll sign it if you'd like me to. I'll send you home with a copy of my book. That's good. What is the book about, right? It is a novel. It's all of the experiences in there, with the exception of two, are direct experiences that happened to me or to our family. But it's told from a perspective of a young man who goes to work on a ranch, kind of in a midlife crisis, kind of like what I was going through when I wrote the book. What's my mission? What am I supposed to do? So it gave me the latitude to be able to condense all of those experiences into days and weeks and less than a year in a book. But being able to share those principles, and again, my five values are spelled out in what this book is. So who is it for? Obviously, Tony, my friend, got a lot out of it in his 60s. My niece, who was 16 years old when she read it, our homeschool group read it. It's easy. It's kind of like a Ralph Moody type style book, Little Britches, where, you know, my kids, younger kids understand it, but intellectual enough that adults find that there's meaning in it and they get the principles out of it. So we do have those available. Any final questions before we wrap it up? Oh, that went dark. Okay. Well, you guys have been a great audience. I appreciate you being here. Yeah, give yourselves a round of applause. No, it's just as much for you guys, right back at you, because, you know, you guys showed up. So remember that thing that you've written down, right? Take action on it as soon as you can, as soon as it's practical. If you don't have that thing written down, write it down before you go home. Thanks, everybody, for coming.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.